I'd ask you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Judges 16. Hold your place there and turn to 1 Samuel 4. Before I read the scriptures, I want to begin by reading a quote from a minister, preacher, a writer. Many of you have heard of him, read him, and I want to share a quote that he wrote many years ago. A.W. Tozer said this: "If the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from the church today, 95% of what we do would go on and no one would know the difference. If the Holy Spirit had been withdrawn from the New Testament church, 95% of what they did would stop, and everyone would know the difference." I have wrestled in my heart, in my mind, and in my spirit for the past going on 3 days now. I have driven to this church. I live 4 miles south of this church on Mink Street. And I felt like I completed my message on Friday afternoon. I got home and I felt unsettled. So I came back Friday night, put a couple more hours into the message. I got up yesterday morning, went to the men's breakfast, and I got home, and I still felt unsure. So I came back to the church and left feeling better. And last night, I went outside and spent some time with the Lord. And a passage of scripture that I don't know if I have read for years, I don't believe I've ever preached from it, came to my mind. It's about the Ark of the Covenant. It's about God's people. When God called Moses and the Israelites out of bondage and slavery in Egypt, as he was having them prepare to build him a tabernacle where he would dwell and where they would worship him and serve him, he also had them build a box of acacia wood that was inlaid with pure gold, and it was covered on the outside with pure gold, and two cherubim were put on the mercy seat, the top, and they faced one another, and the presence and the power and the glory of God rested upon that ark. Inside, eventually, would be a copy of the Ten Commandments that God gave to Moses, the rod that budded for Aaron, a bowl of manna. And this ark would travel with God's people. And it was a representation of God's presence in the Holy of Holies. It also brought God's glory upon His people. To know God's glory, to experience God's glory, is to have His favor, blessing, anointing, presence, power, protection, beauty, purpose, influence, joy, unity, and fellowship with Him and with the body of Christ and with the church. I I went to bed early this morning and I told the Lord that if I woke, and I actually slept pretty good for a few hours, that I would just do what He led me to do today. And when I woke up this morning, I sensed that this is what the Lord, what He began to work in me last night, that He does in fact want me to follow through with. So I want you to look at 1 Samuel chapter 4. I'm going to read to you the entirety of this chapter. Now Israel went out to battle against the Philistines and encamped beside Ebenezer. The Philistines encamped in Aphek. I'll tell you what, Ethan. Let's exit out of that. Just exit out of the PowerPoint. Leave it where it is, and then we can come back to it as so needed. That's not your fault, Olivia. That's probably me or the enemy. Verse 2, then the Philistines put themselves in battle array against Israel. And when they joined battle, Israel was defeated by the Philistines, who killed about 4,000 men of the army in the field. And when the people had come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, "Why has the Lord defeated us today before the Philistines? Let us bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from Shiloh to us, that when it comes among us, it may save us from the hand of our enemies." So the people sent to Shiloh. So the people sent to Shiloh that they might bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of Hosts, who dwells between the cherubim. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the Ark of the Covenant of God. And when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted. They shouted so loudly that the earth shook. And when the Philistines heard this noise, the noise of this shout, they said, "What does the sound of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews mean?" Then they understood that the Ark of the Lord had come into the camp, so the Philistines were afraid, for they said, "God has come into the camp." And they said, "Woe to us, for such a thing has never happened before. Woe to us, who will deliver us from the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods who struck the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. Be strong and conduct yourselves like men, you Philistines, that you do not become servants of the Hebrews as they have been to you. Conduct yourselves like men and fight." So the Philistines fought. And Israel was defeated, and every man fled to his tent. There was a very great slaughter there. And there fell of Israel 30,000 foot soldiers. Also the Ark of God was captured, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, died. Then a man of Benjamin ran from the battle line the same day and came to Shiloh with his clothes torn and dirt on his head. Now when he came, there was Eli sitting on the seat by the wayside watching, for his heart trembled for the Ark of God. And when the man came into the city and told it, all the city cried out. When Eli heard the noise of the outcry, he said, "What does the sound of this tumult mean?" And the man came quickly and told Eli. Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were so dim that he could not see. Then the man said to Eli, "I am he who came from the battle, and I fled today from the battle line." And he said, "What happened, my son?" So the messenger answered and said, "Israel has fled before the Philistines, and there has been a great slaughter among the people. Also your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the Ark of God has been captured." Then it happened when he made mention of the ark of God that Eli fell off the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck was broken and he died. For the man was old and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. Now his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child, due to be delivered. And when she heard the news that the ark of God was captured and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and gave birth, and her labor pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, as she was dying from giving childbirth, the women who stood by her said to her, "Do not fear, for you have borne a son." But she did not answer, nor did she regard it. Then she named the child Ichabod, saying, "The glory has departed from Israel, because the ark of God has been captured, and because of her father-in-law and her husband." And she said, "The glory has departed from Israel, for the ark of God has been captured." Ichabod, no glory. As I was sitting on my porch last night, another man came to my mind named Samson. And I want you to turn to Judges 16 and look at verse 18. We know the story of Samson and Delilah. He is in the throes of living in pleasure and doing whatever he wants to do. We look toward the end of his story in verse 18. Delilah continued to find out and entrap him and deceive him over and over again. He takes a nap on her lap and she cut his hair. In verse 18, it says, "When Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the Lord of the Philistines, saying, 'Come up once more, for he has told me all his heart.' So the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hand. Then she lulled him to sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him, and his strength left him. And she said, 'The Philistines are upon you, Samson.' So he awoke from his sleep and said, 'I will go out as before at other times and shake myself free.' But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Then the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with bronze fetters and he became a grinder in the prison. However, the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaven." I don't believe that we should have communion today. Rather than communion, I believe we need contrition. And before we remember what Christ has done for us, we need to reflect and repent of what we have or have not done before the Lord. I listened to a pastor recently who had an affair. And large influence on this nation. Large church. He had an affair Many years later, he's being interviewed, and they ask him, "What was it that brought you back into fellowship and union with your wife?" And he read James 5:16 that says, "Confess your faults to one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." He said something to me that I, or in this testimony that I've never thought of before. And I want to give it to you this morning. He said, "Repentance will bring God's forgiveness. Confession will bring God's healing." He went on to say that in his mind, as this pastor of this large church, and all of the influence and all of the strength that he had, in his mind, he thought he was fine to just be somewhat of a rogue agent for the Lord. And so he kind of islandized himself and isolated himself, and his mantra or motto was, "I will answer to God for the decisions I make." And he was not accountable. And in time, that heart condition disqualified him. And I tell you this morning, for some of you here today, you have repented, or maybe you have not yet repented, but maybe today you're going to repent, and God will forgive you. And yet, the Bible teaches us that if there's an offense or there is sin that you have committed to someone or upon someone, it's one thing to be forgiven. It's a whole nother level to be healed after you've been forgiven. To actually have restoration and reconciliation, you have to humble yourself and be able to say, "Please forgive me, I was wrong." And I would just give you a pastoral admonition. If it's a public sin that was an offense and everyone saw it, you should confess publicly. But if it was a private sin against one person or a certain persons, you need to use wisdom. And you don't confess private sins, some of them publicly, unless there is counsel and wisdom in that. So I just wanted to add that today. Because I believe there is some ones here today that you are going to not just repent, but confess today before you pillow your head tonight. Fanny Crosby wrote over 8,000 songs, many or most of them hymns. She was blind. She used to go and visit prisons, and she would share her songs and speak to the inmates. She went in 1868, in the spring, she went to this prison, and the presence and the blessing and the glory and the power of God began to fall on that prison. And men were getting their hearts right with the Lord. And Fanny, who could not see but was very with her eyes but had great spiritual sight, her ears heard an inmate who was observing all of these people being touched and moved by God. She heard him say these words, "Good Lord, please don't pass me by.
This morning I want to ask you,
do you have the power and the presence and the anointing and the grace and the mercy and the glory of God upon your life? Is it upon your marriage? Is it upon your children? Is it upon your life? And if you don't, I want to call you to repentance and confession. Because the only way that your soul is going to be restored and refreshed is through repentance. Acts 3:19 says, repent and be converted, that times of refreshing may come from the presence, the glory of the Lord. Some of you don't need communion today because it would harm you. In the scripture that we would have read now, where the Apostle Paul is writing to the people of God about taking communion, the Lord's Supper, he says, I warn you, do not take the body and the blood of Jesus unworthily. He said, because if you do, some of you and others have become sick and some have died. And some of you came to church today intending to take communion and you would have done detriment to your soul and maybe even to your life. What you need to do is Galatians 2:20, not communion but crucifixion, where the Apostle Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who gave himself for me. I'm going to play that song that is attempted to play multiple times. Just a moment, Ethan. But I want to read you one more quote from another old preacher named Leonard Ravenhill. And he said this, no man is greater than his prayer life. The pastor who is not praying is playing. The people who are not praying are straying. We have many organizers, but few agonizers. Many players and payers, few prayers. Many singers, few clingers, lots of pastors, few wrestlers, many fears, few tears, much fashion, little passion, many interferers, few intercessors, many writers, but few fighters. Failing here, we fail everywhere. So my challenge to you this morning is come to the Lord. Repent. If you need to, confess and be healed. And I plead with you this morning, don't put your eyes on anyone else but yourself. Father, this morning, we think about those men that John Woodbey referenced in Luke 17, men that needed healed. Men that needed cleansed. Their only hope was you, Jesus. Lord, we so many times come into church and we go through the motions and we drink
the juice and we eat the bread, and we do so in a nonchalant, unworthy manner. Lord, today we repent of that spirit of passivity. Lord, we are absolutely infatuated as a society with ourselves. And Lord, that is infiltrating the spirit of the church, where we want the glory, where we want the attention, where we want, Lord, the power for ourselves. But Lord, you give your glory to no one. Lord, I've asked myself this question. Could Ichabod be written over my life? Could Ichabod be written over this church? And Lord, like Jacob, my heart is to wrestle with you and say, Lord, until you bless me, I'm not going to let you go. So Lord, take us beyond emotion. Take us beyond ourselves. The only way, Lord, that we will be lifted up. The only way some of our relationships are going to be restored. The only way some of our children are going to come home. The only way, Lord, that some of those grandchildren are going to run back to your grace is when we humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, and then you will lift us up. So Lord Jesus, as we pause, Lord, on remembering your sacrifice, Lord, may we repent, confess our sins, and Lord, while you are working in others' lives, good Lord, please don't pass me by. And I pray, Lord, that your will would be accomplished this morning. I'm not here to go through another Sunday and go home and take an afternoon nap, unmoved, unchanged, and continue on the same if Ichabod is written over our lives. Renew us, revive us, restore us, and may we fix our eyes on you and be healed. In Jesus' name, amen. Ethan, would you please play that song? And folks, just come as the Lord speaks to you.
I have no idea how to include now. I guess I just ask you this. Don't worry, I'm not going to preach another message. I just want to ask you this. In Psalm 16:11, it says, "You will show me the path of life, and in your presence is fullness of joy." You will show me the path of life, and in your presence is fullness of joy. So I just want to ask you this morning, do you have the presence and the joy of the Lord in your heart? If you don't, it is a miserable, miserable experience to try to live the Christian life. And then I just ask you this morning, do you know? Do you have confidence that Jesus is the Lord of your life? I'm going to pray, and I guess my challenge would be to you that if there is anyone here that you need to make things right with, do so before you leave. Maybe that's why the Lord is allowing us extra time. Father, this morning, we are your people and the sheep of your pasture. This is your church. This is your bride. This is your building. This is your land. We're just pilgrims passing through. So, Lord, in this season of our life, while you have planted and placed us here, I pray, Lord, that we would experience your glory and your blessing and your presence resting upon this place as you did the Ark of the Covenant. I pray, Lord, for our husbands, our wives, our children, Lord, that we would be honest with you, honest with ourselves, and humble ourselves. That, Lord, we would not only repent, but as you lead us, confess that we can actually be healed. Lord, thank you for the cross. Thank you for your blood that cleanses us from all sin. But Lord, as we pause remembering and we just sit and we consider our own hearts in these coming days, I pray that you would cause your people to cry out for your mercy, for your grace, for your love, and that you would keep us unified together and continue to lead us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand and let's sing together? Now, you older folks are going to have to carry us, all right? Need to teach this generation this song.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by.
Make sure that you have clean hands and a pure heart, and be dismissed in God's love. And we'll let you know whether it's next Sunday or the next couple of Sundays when we will have communion. But please don't leave here without making sure that your heart is right with the Lord. I love you all. You're dismissed.